X-Men, the audio drama, now presented by Rivalcast Media at rivalcastmedia.com. You can also find these shows on YouTube and in some cases edited to the comic panels. Just search for my name, Carl Dutton, or X-Men Season 1 or Season 2 on YouTube to find it. X-Men Season 2, Episode 5, Phoenix Part 1.
I am Phoenix!
My God!
Above Jamaica Bay, the body that was once called Jean Grey hovers above her former friends, surrounded by the form of a flaming bird, a phoenix. Before they can say another word or react, the phoenix is suddenly gone. Jean's eyes closing as she plummets towards the ocean far below.
Jean!
Jeanie!
Cyclops and Wolverine take off, swimming with every ounce of energy that remains in their bodies. Scott reaches her first, grabbing his love and pulling her towards him.
Jean! Jean! What was that? Can you hear me?
She's out, Summers. We have to get to shore. Get help!
Cyclops nods, and the group head for shore. He swims with one arm, the other pulling the unconscious but now breathing Jean Grey with him. As he does, he cannot quiet his mind.
What was that? Jean, what's happened to you? I'm so glad to have you back. But the question I can't stop asking, is it even you at all?
Across New York, Professor Charles Xavier sits, staring blankly out of the window of his taxi, headed into the city.
My God. What have I done? First John and now Jean. Sean didn't make much sense in his phone call. Obviously panicked. All I know is that she is breathing, and they are taking her to a hospital. I even had to remind them to find a change of clothing from their costumes. I keep trying to enter her mind, to contact Jean, but all I see is fire, and all I hear are nonsensical words of a being calling itself Phoenix. Please, Lord, let her be okay. At least my dreams have stopped, for now.
Xavier now rushes into the emergency room, wheeling himself as fast as he can to the reception desk.
Excuse me, I'm a friend of Jean Grey. Is she here?
Professor.
He looks up, spinning his chair around to see Peter, Aurora, and Sean coming towards him, their faces grim.
Peter, it is very good to see you. See you all. Where is she?
She has been taken into emergency care. Scott is the only one they allowed to go with her.
What did you tell them?
I told them a wee tale about a boating accident, that we crashed and she almost drowned.
Good. Good. And your clothing?
Kurt borrowed some from a department store in Brooklyn. Jean's new attire simply dissolved on her skin. We dressed her as well.
And where is Kurt?
The roof, I believe.
He said he would stay out of sight.
This is all well and good, but I think Jean's life is a little more important than keeping us under wraps.
The others all look around as Wolverine speaks aloud, hoping no one heard either the content nor the man responding to a conversation no one heard.
Yes, it is. But with the current climate for people, like us, I think keeping us under wraps is prudent.
So, what do we do?
All we can do, Peter. Wait.
The night turns to morning, as the group do just that, for hours speaking little. Then, Finally, as the hour reaches 7:45, a doctor approaches them.
You are the Gray family?
Yes. No. We are her friends. Her family has been contacted.
I see. How long will they be?
They were visiting Jean's grandma down south. They said they'd catch the earliest flight.
Please, Doctor. Jean is a very dear friend. She lived at my school for years. We will pass on any news to the family.
Well, that's just it. I have no news. It's like nothing I've ever seen. Physically, she is perfectly healthy, but for a reason I can't understand, she's in a deep coma of some sort. You say this was a boating accident?
Yes.
Well, I found no water in her lungs, no sign of injury from a collision or fall. In fact, if she was up and about, I would simply discharge her.
There is nothing unusual at all.
Well, her temperature is a little high, and obviously the whole coma itself is unusual.
May we see her?
Of course. We've put her up in a room. Her boyfriend is with her there.
Thank you, Doctor.
Xavier buries himself in thought as the doctor nods and walks away.
A coma.
But she spoke. We heard her.
I don't believe that was Jean, Peter. I believe something has somehow possessed her body.
Possessed? Like a demon?
A demon called Phoenix.
Oh, please.
Let's not call the exorcist just yet. I believe the answer is cosmic rather than supernatural.
What makes you see that?
For the past few weeks, both myself and Jean have been troubled with nightmares. Mine have been getting worse, crippling even, as you saw last night.
The dream did that to you?
Yes. Since we were the only two affected, I knew that it must be a psychic attack of some sort. Jean's never got that bad, but both of them involved space. Technologies that neither of us could comprehend. And Jean's, they were of a being calling to her. A being which did match the description of a phoenix.
So let me get this straight. You think that some thing from space has been contacting you and Jean, and now her dead body has been taken over by, what, an alien?
Far more plausible than a demon, don't you think?
Ugh.
Wolverine, where are you going?
For some air. And babe, the name's Logan. Just FYI. Since we are trying to keep a low profile.
Oi!
Let him go. He needs time to process.
And Scott? He needs to hear all of this.
Yes, he does.
The man known as Wolverine walks the Manhattan streets, hands buried in his pockets, head in thought.
Demons, space ghosts, what a bunch of crap. I don't much care what happened. All I know is that Jean... Jean died. Now she's back. Is she? Is that her lying in that hospital bed? Or just some mutant who kicked it and doesn't want to go upstairs just yet? I don't know. But what I do know is that if that isn't her...
Logan stops as he reaches a flower stand, considering it for a moment. Then... he sneers and continues walking.
Ah, why the hell would I do that? If it is her, then Loverboy will just get in the way. And if it isn't, then I ain't gonna let anyone or anything else run around in her body.
Back at the hospital, Jean Grey's friends stand at her bedside. The woman sleeping peacefully even as a raging argument has begun beside her.
And when were you planning on telling us this?
Scott, calm down. I told Jean that it would be best if we handled it alone.
What? She was being psychically attacked. I think I would want to know.
You're right. But I thought I could handle it.
And now whoever it was has taken over Jean's body. Great job.
Come on now, lad. We don't know that.
Oh, then I guess it must be a ghost then. Or a space thing. She wouldn't even be dead if it wasn't for you. You made us targets. You and your old pal Magneto.
Scott, you're tired. You're distraught. But if you don't calm down, you will get us thrown out of here. Away from Jean. Is that what you want?
No.
Scott sits back on the chair next to Jean's bed. The room silent for a long few moments.
So what do you plan on doing about it?
I will try and enter her mind. find Jean.
Professor?
Professor!
The group stand as Xavier holds his head in agony.
Xavier, hear me. I will be with you soon. I need your help.
How can I help you? You...
Professor.
You're driving me insane!
Xavier, step out of it, man.
What is happening to him?
Must be another psychic attack.
Help me, Xavier. You're my only hope.
Professor?
I'm okay. It happened again.
We need to get to the bottom of this before he ends up just like her. Jean?
The group rush towards her as the red-headed woman sits up with a start in her bed.
A temple. A temple in South America. That's where we need to go.
Go for what?
Jean, is that you speaking?
Scott, where am I? How did I get here?
Oh, thank God.
The group let out a collective breath, all wanting to do as Cyclops does, rushing to pull her into his embrace, letting the tears flow.
I thought I lost you.
You gave us quite a scare there, lass.
I'm okay. How long?
Hours.
Scott! We need to get to the temple. We have to find it before he does.
Temple? What temple? Find what? What are you talking about?
The Macron crystal. If Deken gets it, he will...
Shh, Jean. Lie down for a bit. Get your strength back. You're not making any sense.
I can't. If he gets it, he will destroy everything.
Who, Jean? Who will? This Deken?
Yes.
Oh, my. Nurse, get in here. She's awake.
She's fine, Doctor.
I'm going to have to ask all of you to leave.
But the crystal!
The group reluctantly are filed out of the room by staff, Scott at first refusing to follow.
No, I need to speak to her.
She's hysterical. Can't you hear that?
Yes, but...
Please, son, I will let you know as soon as I have something.
The doctor nods towards an orderly, having him grab Scott and aid him towards the door.
Scott, no, listen to me. All of you, we have to get to the temple in South America. He can't get it. He'll destroy everything. Professor! Scott!
Pass me a sedative.
The doctor takes a needle from the nurse, bringing it to Jean and injecting her. The X-Men and Xavier looking in through the large window as the screaming Jean is put under.
No! Scott, we have to...
Right. I need to run all the tests again and contact the psych guys. I think she may be in shock.
What the devil was she yelling about?
I don't know. But the voice in my dream spoke of saving everything as well.
It's a psychic attack. Has to be Mesmero or Mastermind.
I hope so, Scott. I truly hope so.
That very moment, in that black void in which the Earth sits, something streaks past, piercing the blackness of space with its bird-like form. The craft is small for what it is. Fast. It travels with unimaginable speed towards Earth, its destination. After hours of waiting with no news, Xavier and all but Scott Summers return home. In much need of rest, he sends them all to bed, knowing they will get no sleep. Nor does he, as he sits alone now in his study, staring out of his large paneled window up into the night sky.
You're close. I can feel it. Feel your presence.
Give me your location.
Can you not find me? Does my mind not give you all that you need to know?
Yes.
I hope that you are a dream.
And I hope with all that I am that you are not, for I will have come a long way for nothing.
Downstairs in the kitchen, Kurt Wagner sits upon the surface eating from an open packet. He looks up as Logan walks in.
Who is that? Ah, Wolverine.
I told you, bub. The name's Logan.
Only just? For months we have been living together and not once did you mention this before.
Well, you didn't ask.
Wolverine opens the refrigerator, pulling out a bottle of beer and opening the bottle cap with a single metal claw.
A
The prof told us to get some sleep.
Then why are you awake?
I ain't gonna sleep. Almost sliced up the place when we talked about leaving.
So why did you?
Well, sitting at home with a beer beats sitting watching Summers weeping over her for another full night.
Wolver... Logan. His love died last night. Then came back as a literal phoenix from the ashes, possessed by... something. I believe he has reason to weep.
Yeah.
Logan, you dismiss the idea of it being a demon so fast. Why?
Do I really need to answer that question?
Are you not a man of faith?
Bub, I don't remember it all, but I know I've lived long enough to know that if there is a hell, I don't know how it can be any worse than this.
A very different response.
I'm a different kind of guy, Elf.
That I can see.
What about you?
Hmm?
You believe in the High Almighty in the sky?
Logan, the existence of people like us is all the proof I need. In a world full of angels, demons, and Wolverines, is it not plausible that it is all for a purpose?
Well, if you're right, he has a hell of a sense of humor.
The two were startled by the loud noise, Kurt teleporting himself to the receiver and picking it up.
Yes? Cyclops? My God!
What?
Kurt swallows as the others all run into the room.
Jean, she's gone.
Within the hour, Scott returns to the school, ordering the others to gear up and meeting them in his own costume as they make their way towards the jet.
I have tracked her with Cerebro to South America, somewhere deep in the Amazon rainforests.
Just like she said.
How did she get there so fast?
Really? With all that's going on, that's what you're questioning?
The staff said she burst into flame and then vanished.
Was anyone hurt?
No, but the room was trashed. You had to run out of a place before I was arrested.
We'll deal with that later. And in the meantime...
In the meantime, we go get Jean and bring her home.
It is a good job I ordered a second jet a couple of months ago.
Then what are we standing around for? Let's move!
The X-Men take off towards their plane.
I will keep in contact.
It's too late. He is here. My brother, Duken.
Oh, my...
In the blackness of space, a much larger, bird-like construct shadows the moon itself as it passes over it. A capital ship. The capital ship of an empire. Even the Blackbird takes hours to reach their destination, and when finally they do so, Xavier guides them the rest of the way. Soon, a large temple structure appears in the viewports. One strange in design. Nothing like any pyramid or ancient structure known to man. One that was until now unknown.
I believe that is our destination.
The group then see a flash of flame. Flame in the form of a phoenix.
Aye. That'll be it, all right.
Below them, the woman they know as Jean Grey walks, clad again in her green and gold costume, her body ablaze. She floats with ease, with purpose, over the flora, finally reaching the temple itself and giving a simple gesture. Her eyes glow white. The flames around her grow higher, as the temple entrance seems to respond to her and open, the stone grinding and shedding dust, dust many thousands of years old, as the door gives way to the interior. Jean glides on through. Behind her, the X-Men land. Rushing out of their jet to the ground to follow.
I've got a bad feeling about this.
Stay close. Whatever is in there, it's the reason for all of this.
Xavier, I am here. Be prepared.
What?
Xavier turns with a start, removing Cerebro's helmet as a dazzling light appears in the center of the room.
What in the world is this?
All Charles can do is swallow, lowering his arms that he used to shield himself from the blinding light, and looking upon the figure before him. It is tall, silver, bug-like in appearance, the helmet almost in the shape of a fly. It then speaks.
Charles Xavier?
Yes. Who are you?
The figure reaches up, removing its helmet, lowering it to reveal a strikingly beautiful woman beneath it, her eyes painted, her hair almost feather-like.
I am Lalandra, and you and your X-Men are my only hope to save the universe from my brother.
Back at the temple, the X-Men now enter, yelling down after their friend as they head deeper and deeper into its stone depths, noticing as they do each of the torchlights on their way being lit.
This temple is very old.
I would say so, my friend.
How on earth has this place not been discovered?
Because they could not see it. It was hidden.
They stop walking, as before them Jean stands before a massive altar. Upon it sits an equally huge crystal.
You should not have followed me. He is here.
He? Jean, how did you get here? Why? Wait. Who is here?
The X-Men are blinded, all but Jean, as before them from the dazzling blue light forms multiple figures. When finally the light is gone, it is replaced by silver armored people. Two with massive staffs resemble guards, both now pointing said weapons towards the X-Men. Between them stands a caped, purple-skinned man, and another dressed as though a king.
Stay back.
I don't know who or what you are, fella, but get those hands up before I lop them off.
Finally, I have you.
The central figure speaks, looking upon the massive magenta crystal.
You are too late, Deken Nerimani. I have chosen a host. The Phoenix will not let you have the Macron crystal.
The Phoenix is a myth. A tale to scare fools away from this magnificent prize.
Are you as blind as you are mad, Emperor?
Jean, what? Who are these people?
Aliens, Scott, from far across this galaxy. And he has come for the Macron crystal.
Well, I'll be damned.
Why?
He wants to use it as a weapon.
Its power is legendary.
If you open it, you will undo all that is and ever will be.
More fool's tales. I can harness its power.
I will not let you discover for yourself that no mortal being can.
So be it, Gladiator. Kill them all!
At once, Emperor.
Gladiator steps forward between the guards, who also advance. Wolverine growls, running forward and slashing his claws down into the tall, purple-skinned figure. But the metal spikes slash only through the alien's armor, not the flesh.
What the?
Gladiator gives him a sly smile, as Colossus then comes forward and brings down a huge metallic punch that is caught in Gladiator's risen hand. He then throws the arm down and punches Peter with his other hand, sending him flying into the wall, smashing it on impact. The group look back in a shocked awe as the caped man stands triumphantly.
The stories of superior beings on this planet appear to be true, but still, you have no hope of defeating me.
No, but I do.
The Phoenix now brings up his arms, sending a blast of fire from its bird-like form into Gladiator, sending him flying now, smashing through a stone statue with a yell. The X-Men then advance, Banshee screaming at the two guards. Storm sending a blast of thunder into one of them, taking him out. Wolverine then yelling with a snarl as he leaps into the air for the other, bringing his six claws down into his armored chest. The second guard falls. Behind them, Phoenix continues to keep Gladiator at bay, the others watching this, no one noticing Diken, as he now places his hand upon the Makran crystal.
Too late, Earthers.
No!
She and the X-Men rush to attack the Emperor, but before they can, he beams away in the same blinding light from which he came, with the crystal. Gladiator soon follows.
Next time, Phoenix.
Damn it! Now what?
Now we must stop him before he destroys the universe.
X-Men Season 2, Episode 5, Phoenix, Part 1. Starring Natalie Winter as Jean Grey, Omri Rose as Cyclops, Rex Anderson as Wolverine, Jason Rivers as Charles Xavier, Mr. John as Banshee, Tyree Peterside as Storm, Ryan Lawton as Nightcrawler, Stephen Chesterton as Colossus, Emma Gibson as Lalandra, Kenneth Wilk as Diken, Nathan Dunford as Gladiator, also with the voice of Drew Kalen as the Doctor. Music by Declan Gilgallon. Written and edited by Calderton, based off the works of Chris Claremont and Dave Cockrum. Sound sourced from freesounds.com and freesfx.org. X-Men is a copyright of Marvel Entertainment. No infringement.